Welcome to the services of the Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett. If you are visiting with us, we are so excited that you're here, and it is our prayer that you will see God in our worship. Today is a very special Sunday for us, and what we are doing is having an international Sunday, and this has been a tradition of our church for some time, and I would like to ask a favor from you. If you are from the United States or Canada, I would like you to stand up and say, hey! Hey! If you are from Central America, I'd like you to stand up and say, hey! If you are from South America, stand up and say, hey!
She didn't say hey.
If you are from the Caribbean, say hey.
Hey!
If you are from Europe, say hey.
Hey!
If you are from Asia, say hey.
Hey!
If you are from Africa, say hey. And if you were from other or you didn't know what I was talking about, say, hey! We are glad you're here today. In Matthew 28, in verse 18, it says, Then Jesus came near and said to them, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Amen. You see, we all are very proud of our culture and our heritage. But God loves every one of us. In Acts 10, he had to demonstrate to Peter very specifically that not only is the gospel for the Jews, but it's for all men. In Acts 10, he came to know this, and he said in verse 28, Peter said to them, You know it's forbidden for a Jewish man to associate with or visit a foreigner. But God has shown me that I must not call any person common or unclean. That's why I came without objection when I was sent for. And then he says in verse 34, Then Peter began to speak, In truth, I understand that God doesn't show favoritism. But in every nation, that person who fears him and does righteousness is acceptable to him. Those are exciting words. God wants all men to have a relationship with him and to be saved. Today we have a very special guest speaker with us. That's Dave Hooper from Austin, Texas. Dave, if you'd stand up. We also are going to have the opportunity to hear a message from Dr. Mark Ottenweller. And he's going to bring us to the foot of the cross, and then we're going to have an outstanding feast. Amen. I know we're excited about that. Please join with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful and in awe that you have brought all men and women together from all nations to worship you, to have a relationship with you, to call you their God. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings as we worship you. We ask that we would lift you up, that we would honor you appropriately. Father, bless this time of worship. Thank you that we have such times as this. We pray in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen.
Padre Celestial,
Te damos gracias por tu bondad y tu grandeza y tu fidelidad y te alabamos. Te damos gracias por este día tan hermoso que nos has dado. Te damos gracias porque podemos vivir en este país con esta diversidad y con la libertad de alabarte. Pero también pensamos en nuestros hermanos en Latinoamérica y alrededor del mundo que no todos tienen esta libertad. Y te damos gracias que aún en medio de eso muchos te alaban hoy. Y te pedimos que estés con ellos y los protejas. Te damos gracias porque pensando en esta internacionalidad pensamos en el cielo que un día van a haber personas de toda tribu y toda nación y toda lengua alabándote y te damos gracias por la esperanza que tenemos en llegar a ese lugar. Te pedimos que nos ayudes a darte todo nuestro corazón hoy durante este servicio, que te complazca y que siempre vivamos mientras estamos en este lado de la eternidad, vivamos para poder llegar a ver tu rostro ese día y a ver a nuestros hermanos y hermanas de todo el mundo que celebramos hoy. Te damos gracias por tu Hijo Jesús, que por su sangre permite todo esto, y en su nombre oramos. Amén.
Amén. Dios, nuestro Pai, nuestro Señor, ficamos maravillados nesta manhã ao ver o teu poder, ao ver a criação, a olhar para nossas vidas e ver as mudanças que o Senhor tem feito em nossas vidas. Deus, ficamos maravilhados com o teu amor, porque vemos a tua palavra sendo pregada e ensinada em vários lugares deste mundo. Em tempos diferentes, em lugares diferentes, em países diferentes, o Senhor alcançou todos nós, colocando discípulos verdadeiros em nossas vidas, que nos amaram, que compartilharam sua fé, o mais importante, que nos ensinaram mais sobre a tua palavra. Deus, desta manhã, queremos te louvar, queremos cantar ao Senhor e te adorar com gratidão por tudo que o Senhor tem feito por nossas vidas. Deus, muito obrigado por Jesus Cristo, que o Senhor possa abrir os nossos corações esta manhã para escutar a tua palavra, que não são apenas palavras humanas, mas são as palavras que vão salvar as nossas almas. Deus, que o Senhor possa nos ajudar nesta manhã e nos transforma a sermos mais parecidos com o teu Filho Jesus Cristo. E é em nome dele que oramos com gratidão e esperança. Amém.
Amém. Je ne Dieu pas céleste, nous venons devant matin ça, Seigneur, pour nous vraiment remercier vous du fait que Seigneur permette que nous en vivons matin ça. Nous disons merci Seigneur du fait que nous sommes capables vraiment adorer vous en esprit, en vérité. Nous disons merci Seigneur du fait que en but pour tout le monde ça, c'est que tout le monde Seigneur, quel que soit à côté ou sorti, il est capable d'avoir espoir avec vous pour une vie éternelle Seigneur. Nous disons merci Seigneur pour l'amour, nous disons merci Seigneur pour grâce. Nous disons merci Seigneur du fait que nous sommes Dieu qui n'a pas de parti pris du tout. Nous sommes Dieu qui aime tout le monde, quelle que soit la nationalité, quelle que soit la classe, Seigneur, quel que soit le côté que vous sortez, Seigneur, ou aimer, Seigneur, et vision pour vous-même, c'est que tout le monde, Seigneur, dans tout le monde, ça, Seigneur, il y a espoir pour vraiment vivre avec vous-même, Seigneur. Nous disons merci pour matin ça. Nous disons merci, Seigneur, pour l'honneur, privilège qu'on fait nous, du fait que nous sommes vraiment adorer vous. Nous prions, Seigneur, que service à Seigneur va un service de bonne odeur devant Dieu, Seigneur, que on va accepter les Seigneurs et que Seigneur nous va glorifier, Seigneur. Nous disons merci, Seigneur, pour Jésus-Christ, lui-même qui sauve nous, lui-même qui met nous, lui-même qui aime nous, lui-même qui pardonne nous, Seigneur, lui-même qui mourit pour pardonner péché nous. Grâce à lui-même, grâce à la résurrection, Seigneur, que nous la matin ça. Et c'est dans nous que nous vraiment à célébrer matin ça. Nous disons merci pour tout. Et c'est dans nous que nous prions. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you that we get to worship you, that we can come together and do that today. We pray your blessing upon this service. We pray that your spirit fill the speakers as they come up. We pray that you do that for the singers and the musicians and for all of us as well, to worship you acceptably and to give you all our heart. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Again, I want to welcome everybody to our international service this morning. In a few minutes, we get a chance to participate in the Lord's Supper together. And I want to introduce to us the brother who's going to be leading our thoughts as we participate in communion together. Dr. Mark Ortenweller, for us in this church, needs no introduction. In my opinion, he's done more for AIDS work and HIV in Africa than any person I know.
Amen.
If you mention his name in charities in Africa doing AIDS work with orphans and AIDS prevention, people know who this brother is. He graduated from LSU Medical School in 1977. And he actually lives right here in Atlanta for several years. And in 1989, he packed up, he and his wife, with their three young kids, and then moved to Abidjan in the Ivory Coast to start one of the first AIDS clinic on the entire continent. He spent a total of 18 years in Africa doing AIDS work. And I can honestly tell you, because of his life, he has helped raise millions of dollars for AIDS work and AIDS prevention in Africa. I really believe there's so many lives that have been saved as a result of his sacrifice. I know we all have heroes in the faith. Mark Ottenweller is one of mine. My wife and I learned so much from them, from him and his late wife, about marriage, about raising kids. Just a phenomenal man. But I got to tell you a little funny story that happened while we were in Johannesburg. I remember it was one Christmas, and we had finished having staff meeting, and I was handing out awards, you know, to different people on staff for different things they had done. And Mark used to have this huge briefcase. I mean, he had all kinds of papers in it. And so I said, well, the Mobile Office Award goes to Mark Ottenweller. And, you know, everybody's laughing. They knew exactly what I was talking about. And a few weeks later, he comes in with this very nice-looking briefcase. I said, hey, Mark, what happened to your old briefcase? He goes, you're not going to believe who gave this to me. I said, who? He said, Oprah. Wow. I was like, wow. I think she had come to Africa with a delegation from the U.S., senators and people from Congress, just looking at the AIDS work that was being done in Soweto. And so, brothers and sisters, we have a man who has really laid down his life that you and I can really emulate when it comes to caring for the poor and caring for those in need. He's going to be talking to us in a few minutes. And so let's give a warm Gwinnett welcome to Dr. Mark Ottenweller. We're going to sing a song and then he's going to come up. Mark, you go ahead and stand up.
Bonjour. Bienvenue. Aniche, aniche, umba. Asante sana. Sawabona, Kunjani, Lagai, Komastash, Salam Aleikum, Aleikum Assalam, Sak Passe, Como Ye. It's for my Haitian brothers and sisters. I'm here really to thank the church for the tremendous support that you've given to Africa and to our work in Africa and Haiti. Lynn, my wife, couldn't be here this morning. She just arrived last night from outside of the country. We got married September 22nd, and I'm sure we'll come back together and do a lot of stuff together. She's an awesome woman of God. We met in 1977. Her husband and my wife and I were best friends. They moved to Baton Rouge, Louisiana after we did and lived two blocks from us in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And do you know that they worked in the New York church, and they were the ones that recommended that Lynn and I go to Africa. I mean, that Diane and I go to Africa. It was Barry and Lynn. And we decided at that time, 1989, that if anything happened to us, we'd take care of each other's kids. So her husband passed away 11 years ago, my wife 5 years ago. And September 22nd, we got married, and now we're taking care of each other's kids. Thank you.
Up, there's no signal out of it. Up, got to go back.
I'm going to talk a little bit about children. First of all, I want to thank you for Richard and Sarah. I know you guys know they're awesome. But I want you to know how much impact they have had and are still having all over Africa. And we thank you for loaning them to us. And just for the tremendous work the church here has done. In Haiti, we've built houses everywhere. We've built, I don't know, 60, 70 houses now for the disciples. We have a Village of Hope. We have a community center, which is a church now in Quatabuque. We're building a school up in Boderi. I was just there in January with a medical corps. In fact, if you're a doctor, nurse, social worker, come up here afterwards and we can talk about some opportunities. I've been working in the Ivory Coast since the Civil War. We've started about 150 businesses in the Ivory Coast, employed about 300 disciples because after the Civil War they were devastated. I can't tell you how exciting it is and all that God's doing. I just got back from Kenya and Uganda, what God's doing there. Richard's getting a chance to visit. They've been able to build a building there. They have about 1,600 disciples. They have about 2,400 on Sunday. They have 600 children in the Kids' Kingdom in Nairobi. It's amazing what God's done. And so continue praying for the work, but I want to thank you for your generosity and your support and for your love for people that maybe you'll never meet, but impact you're having in their lives and all over Africa. Right now, there's 78 churches in Africa and 38 countries. I don't know if you knew that, that all that God's doing. I'm going to talk a little bit about a very special topic. I'm going to talk about children. We've gotten involved in children in a big way in the last number of years. And so the Bible says their angels always see the face of my Father in heaven in Matthew 18:10. There's a reason for that. That God's angels are watching the children, all children. And God's angels are watching over them. And those angels always see the face of my Father because they have a very special role we're going to talk about, children. The AIDS epidemic is continuing to grow. About 5,000 new people infected a day, 3,300 deaths every day. There's a child every 20 seconds, new child orphaned due to AIDS. There's going to be about 60 or 70 during my talk today. It's about 4,000 a day, about 1.5 million new orphans a year. We're talking about huge numbers, and the treatment has slowed that a little bit, but it's still continuing to grow. We have over 15 million now. We project over 20 million orphans due to AIDS. Continuing. So you're not going to hear about it in the news. It's not going to make CNN, but I'm telling you, it's bad and getting a lot worse. And the impact is on these children's lives, the Civil War, drought, famine, all the other issues we deal with is incredible, and it's falling right on the heads of these children. They struggle with food and clothing. They struggle with education and the need for health care and social services. There's a lot of anxiety and depression and emotional struggles. Remember, there are millions of young girls very high risk for rape, abuse, and violence. Millions of young girls, 10, 12 years old, millions, very high risk. A lot of the children lose their future. They lose their land, they lose inheritance, their whole future is destroyed and their opportunities. So we need to help these kids. Amen? Hope Worldwide provides child-centered activities. We help the children with nutrition, education, psychosocial support. We help the families with economic strengthening, training and development, HIV prevention. This is our big focus going forward. And then we mobilize large-scale communities to do what I'm going to show you we've done so far. So this is a world-class model for community-based care and support for orphans. So far, we've reached over 130,000 orphans. So far. This is what you've done. You and us working together have reached over 130,000 orphans already in Africa, in 8 African countries. We're going to strengthen households. I'm going to talk about early childhood development. We have a whole monitoring evaluation plan. We have some big new partners, exciting new things. But we desperately appreciate your support, and we desperately need more support, especially mobilizing the community. We do that all over Africa. We mobilize communities. We need to do that right here in Gwinnett, and Duluth, and all over Atlanta. Amen? And I'll show you what we're doing about that, some of that. So I'm going to talk about some of our performance and our impact. We're working in these 8 African countries in red. We've targeted Ghana and Liberia moving forward. Remember, there are 78 churches in Africa in 38 countries. We've just begun. This is Gogo Eva. Gogo is like granny, grandma. If you want to tease somebody, a man, you say, Yebo Gogo. You call him a granny, okay? But she's already lost two daughters, one to AIDS. She's caring for three children. Those are grandchildren, who one of whom's HIV positive. She also has a son HIV positive. Remember, she's lost several children, still has children HIV positive. They live in a one-room shack. And this is the kind of support we can provide for Gogo Eva and her family. Look at their attitudes. Their family's been devastated by AIDS. But with care and support, we can do a lot to help them. Amen? This is a child status index. Now, this is a complicated thing, but these are the things we measure. These are the measurements for one child. So each of the children, we track all these parameters, their livelihood, and see how well they're doing. Remember, we're talking about thousands and thousands of children. And I want to show this because this is a child status index, a measurement of livelihood for children. This is thousands of children in Kenya, and it shows about a 20% improvement in their livelihood. That means we're measuring the improvement in their well-being across thousands of children across Africa, and we show a significant, this in 1 year, a significant improvement in their livelihood. Donors and partners and corporations love this. You can prove the impact you're having in a child's life. We have some strong corporate partnerships. One of them is Coca-Cola right here in Atlanta. This is a caregiver, a disciple selling Coca-Cola in Mozambique. This is CEO of Coca-Cola, Mutar Kent. So God's opened us some great doors with these and other great partners, but we need to continue to expand those, especially here in the Atlanta area, because of our existing partnerships. This is one of the things I'm most proud of. Look at this. In these five African countries right here, disciples working for Hope Worldwide are on the national OVC steering committees. OVC is Orphans and Vulnerable Children. That means disciples like you and me are setting policies and strategies for whole countries in Africa. In Ivory Coast, they've written the national manuals for counseling of children. They're having impact training and developing with the countries and the government. It's having a huge impact across Africa. It's amazing what they've done. Mark Geary and his team and our country directors. We have a large network of programs. We're continuing to develop best practice models. We have lots of new donors and partners. So God's blessing us in incredible ways in our ability to scale up the care and support. I want to talk about a new program, early childhood development. You see, we have very large numbers of orphans, but we're targeting kids who drop out of school with vocational training, young girls with gender-based at risk for gender-based violence. But the third emerging issue is early childhood development. We can prove, and lots of researchers can prove, that if you intervene early in 0 to 6, you'll have the most impact on a child's life. They're very young, but often neglected, and if you intervene early, it's going to help them for the rest of their lives. And so we've developed materials. I'll show you this poster. This is a curriculum we've developed for caregivers and nursery school managers. We're working in 50 nursery schools in South Africa now. We've developed we're providing support for the caregivers and training, and we're working with governments across the board. We've already met with the government of Botswana and the government of Ivory Coast to launch these programs. But this is going to be huge. It can also be done for disciples and their children and communities across Africa helping kids 0 to 6. This is a fantastic program. This is the poster. Each one of these is a module. And so it goes all the way from nutrition to exercise to health care to education, the character building and child protection, and we bring everyone through this, and then we leave this poster in the household. I think it's an A4, a little bit bigger, and the nursery schools get a larger poster to remind them of the courses. This is a 200-page manual put together by the disciples in South Africa on parenting. This can be scaled up all over Africa. And we also have other manuals on exercise and nutrition and some on child care workshops. I'm just telling you, this is a fantastic program. It's going to have a huge impact all over Africa. We've also had some unique opportunities. This is Ellen Johnson Sirleaf. She is the president of Liberia, co-winner of the Nobel Peace Prize, the first woman president ever in Africa. In our meeting, it was amazing. I thanked her for all her impact for women in Africa and helping women to rise up. But she said, Dr. Mark, is your church involved?
And I said, Madam President, absolutely, because we believe that every disciple should be teaching and preaching and helping and healing. So she said, yes, oh, that's interesting. And I kind of got excited. So I said, not only that, Madam President, but we believe the Holy Spirit has anointed us to preach good news to the poor, to comfort those who mourn, provide for those who grieve, bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And I said, Madam President, I think God's going to raise up children all over Africa to be oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Isaiah 61. You could hear a pin drop in the room. There were ministers there. There were doctors there. You could hear a pin drop. I thought, oh, my goodness, I said too much. She said, thank you very much, Dr. Mark. Whatever we can do to help you, we'll be happy to do that. She wrote me a letter about 2 months later, two-paragraph letter. At the end it says, the government of Liberia will be happy to help you bind up the brokenhearted in Liberia. She quoted Isaiah 61. We also have some other people that have helped us. Even people in the world realize that children are very important. Nelson Mandela said there's no keener revelation of a society's soul than the way it treats its children. Even people in the world know this, that its children are important. They don't totally know why. But someone else has said a number of things very important about children. Jesus said, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. Because they have a very important role in our lives, little children do. We often neglect them, but I'm telling you, they're one of the most important things that are going to help us get to heaven, little children. Jesus said, I praise you, Father of heaven, because you've hidden these things from wise and learned and made them known to little children. There are things you can't learn at Emory University. You can learn from little children because they're our teachers. We can't destroy or neglect our teachers. They're trying to tell us things about God that we need to learn from them. How to be joyful, how to be happy, how to be open-hearted, how to be learners, how to grow spiritually. Little children teach us that. He says, whoever, these little children, let them come to me because I do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. I think when we get to the gates of heaven, it's going to be little children that are going to let us in because the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. They're going to help us go to heaven. Whoop, I did something wrong there. Made to blow that up again. The last slide says, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Children help us go to heaven. It's like the Bible. We desperately need them. And that's why Jesus says, their angels always see the face of my Father in heaven. Because they will teach us and help us and we'll learn things about God and they'll help us go to heaven if we take care of our little children. So hope and pray you'll help us more to help more children in Africa. Amen? Amen? But you and us and the people in shacks in Haiti or in villages in Africa desperately need little children to help them go to heaven. So together, let's help them. Amen? Amen. And someday maybe we'll meet their angels of little children we help because they always see the face of my Father in heaven. Thank you very much for your love and your care and support. Thank you. As we prepare for communion, I want to share a story about a man who had two sons. That story is about the prodigal son. Many of you are familiar with that story. A man who had two sons, and one of his sons said, give me my share of the inheritance, and he went and he squandered all of that in wild living, and then became desperate, longed to eat the food the pigs were eating, the slop that pigs were eating, he longed for. He became so desperate in his life. So if you haven't been that desperate, someday you may be. But then that young man came to his senses and said, I'll go back to my father. Say, look, I'm sinned against heaven, against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Just make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and he went to his father. He'd gone a long way, probably sweaty, dirty, smelly, been living with the pigs. It says when he was a long way off, his father saw him at a distance. Maybe he was at a tower, maybe at a gate, maybe he went there every day looking for his son. And he saw that figure at the distance. He said to himself, maybe that's my son. And he ran toward him. And he ran and he ran and he was sweating and breathing hard and he ran and it was his son and he put his arms around him and hugged him and kissed him. He put sandals on his feet and a robe on him and killed the fattened calf and celebrated because he said, this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. I tell that story because I read that story in 1977. And I thought, how did God know that about me? How did he know that? How did he write that in there? How did he know that? And I read that story and I couldn't believe it. And I was sitting there drinking beer, watching football games on TV, and I realized God was waiting for me to come home. I couldn't believe it. So I decided to go home. Amen. I was baptized November 30th, 1977, about midnight. I used to study the Bible at 11 o'clock at night. Start at 11. Study until about 12. So let's not make excuses about studying the Bible. Amen? I'd study the Bible 11 o'clock at night till 12. I got off work at 11. I said, let's go to the church. A couple guys brought me down there. I was baptized into Christ. Midnight. November 30th, 1977. But the story of the prodigal son is why I became a disciple. You can read it. Read it every day. 5 years ago, my wife passed away. Tragically, very suddenly. My life was devastated. I didn't think I'd survive. I got the story of the prodigal son out and started reading it. In fact, I read it every day. In fact, I read it every day for several months. Because no matter what we go through in life, that story is still true. God still wants us to come home. Maybe you've had a hard life. Maybe you've had an easy life. Maybe you've been through difficult times. That doesn't change anything about God's love. And his desire that we would come home and be saved. So I'm challenging you. If you're visiting, if you're just reading the Bible, just take the story of the prodigal son and read it every day. I'm challenging you, if you're going through struggles right now, just read that story every day. I realized in 20, 30 years, none of those things have changed. My life was devastated. I was going to give up. I was going to throw the towel in. I didn't know what to do. But I knew that story was still true. And brothers and sisters, today, that story is still true. God is just waiting and longing and watching and desiring to bring us all home. We just need to come home his way, do it his way, into his house, into his kingdom. But that's why I still do the work I do in Africa, because I'm waiting to come home to God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you died on the cross for us, that you sacrificed so that we can enjoy a great life, so we can do great things for you, so we can reach out to the lost and to the poor, so we can rise up and have great families and marriages, so we can enjoy life and have impact and help the poor all over Africa and Haiti and other places around the world. But we thank you for the fact that you've been waiting for us so long to come home, and that you've been watching and waiting and excited about celebrating with us when we come home to you. Thank you for dying for us. Help us to live for you. Help us to rise up and do great things for you in honor of what you've done for us. Thank you for dying for me, for my wife, for my children. We love you. All this we ask in your name. Amen. Now we've come to the time for the contribution. I want you to know that we appreciate every prayer for Africa, every single one. Every hug, every greeting, every dollar, everything you've done. You guys have done a phenomenal job for Africa and for Haiti. But I'm going to challenge you. I think we can do a lot more. I ride around Atlanta, I tell you, I ride around this place. I've never seen so much money in my whole life. I'm telling you, we can do a lot more. We can give a lot more, amen? We can. I know some of you have been to Africa and to Haiti. How many people have been to Haiti? It's about at least a dozen, maybe more. Brothers and sisters, we can all go to Haiti to help. We can all come to Africa. You can all come to Africa to help, every single one of you. Different times and places can help out in different ways. We certainly need doctors and nurses and social workers and a number of other people. We can do a lot more right here in Atlanta. Get our friends and neighbors involved. Have some big Bring Your Neighbor days and big fundraising things for children, activities. I'm just telling you, there's a lot we can do. We can do a lot more in our neighborhoods. Do you know, a few months ago, I went to Africa. Right before I went to Africa, we had a big party at our house. And we titled it Chasing the Winter Blues Away. We had a brother come over and play the saxophone. I went personally and door knocked my neighborhood, because Jeremiah 31 says, you'll not have to teach your neighbor saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. Jeremiah 31, 33, 34. So I personally went out and talked to all my neighbors. Do you know that 25 of my neighbors came to that party? That's what you need to be doing. That's what we're talking about. So we can do a lot more for the poor. We can do a lot more for the lost. We can certainly do more to help to grow and develop the church. But it's all because of what God's done for us. We're still the prodigal son. We've just come home. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for all you've done. Thank you for your spirit that you poured out all over Africa and all over the children and the churches and disciples there. Thank you for the generosity of the church here in Gwinnett and their love and devotion to Africa and Haiti. Dear Lord, we just pray that we could do immeasurably more. We pray that we could excel in the gift of giving. We pray that we could be full of the grace of God, just like you. We love you. All this we ask in your name. Amen. Thank you very much.